Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 15th of August, 2024. Joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, including property taxes getting priority during the Indiana Lieutenant Governor debate this week. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more or stop by your local branch. Also coming up today, Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with moisture in the Indiana farm forecast. And the Wednesday corn, beans, and wheat markets all got a recovery bounce. We'll have settlements and commentary from Brian Basting. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Property taxes among the top issues during the Indiana Lieutenant Governor debate. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. The three candidates for Indiana Lieutenant Governor met for a debate Tuesday at the Indiana State Fair to discuss ag policies and issues impacting rural Hoosiers. But one of the top issues for 2025 is Indiana's property taxes. Hoosier Ag Today's Vice President Eric Pfeiffer, who served as one of the panelists for the debate, posed this question for the candidates.
Property taxes will be the number one issue that farm organizations like Farm Bureau, the Indiana Corn Growers Association, and Indiana Soybean Alliance take into the 2025 legislative session. One, do you believe farmers are unfairly treated under the current property tax formula because their profession simply requires more land? And what do you see as a potential solution? Can you give us some details on your property tax plan?
First to answer the question was Micah Beckwith, the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor, who said that farmers are indeed unfairly targeted by the state's property taxes.
Farmers have seen an increase from last year to this year, 26.2% increase in property taxes. That's insane. That's absolutely out of control. And farmers need the relief. The Braun Beckwith plan is going to bring that relief to farmers. We're going to make sure that they have that never again will you ever be able to outpace economic growth of an area.
Beckwith laid out the plan from Republican gubernatorial candidate Mike Braun.
3% is going to be the cap. It can't grow 26% in a year. We're going to grow with economic stability. We're going to make sure that farmers are not seeing these wide swaths of just huge jumps in their property taxes.
Terry Gooden, who is the Democrat candidate for lieutenant governor, said the solution for Indiana's property taxes isn't just a quick fix.
It's easy for state politicians to stand up and say, well, we're going to cut your property taxes. We're going to lower your property taxes. Guess what? Property taxes are 100% local. It's easy for those folks to say that. What they need to say is we're going to quit making cuts to your property tax until we find out what we can do to lower your property taxes, and that is through growth.
Although Gooden didn't give any specifics, he said that he and Democrat gubernatorial candidate Jennifer McCormick would put together a plan to tackle the property tax issue.
We're going to present opportunities in rural communities where they can grow and they can grow themselves out of these property tax crisis that we're in. We've got crisis after crisis here that's been created by one-party rule in the last 20 years.
Meanwhile, Tanya Hudson, the Libertarian candidate for lieutenant governor, said her party's plan is to abolish Indiana's property taxes altogether.
Because you should not be paying property taxes on a home that you already own. Whether you're a farmer or a senior citizen living on Social Security, and barely making ends meet, and your property taxes go up and you can't pay them. And then we have this mafia-style tactic where through sheriff's sale or whatever, if you can't pay your property taxes, you get kicked out of the home that you own. We should not be doing that.
Hudson described how Libertarian gubernatorial candidate Donald Rainwater's plan would make up for that lost revenue.
Instead of property taxes, when you buy a home, you pay a 7% sales tax. If you can't afford the 7% at closing, you can pay 1% a year for 7 years. The communities, local communities, would get together, the municipalities, and to work out what is the budget, how can we pay our fire and police.
You can watch the entire Indiana Lieutenant Governor debate hosted by Agra Institute at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Gearing up for a little bit of moisture here over the next 24 to 36 hours. We have a frontal boundary working towards us from the west. It looks like it slowed a little bit in progression after seeing a little bit of hit and miss up overnight. We're going to be seeing the better moisture come together as this frontal boundary moves in here midday afternoon today. Rain showers to start. We see some fairly significant thunderstorm activity possible as we move through the overnight tonight and through the first part of tomorrow. And we have a lingering tail of moisture in some areas all the way through tomorrow afternoon and evening. All in, all done, I'm going to see a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain coverage, 80% of the Hoosier State. We follow it up with a Saturday that is mostly cloudy. Low pressure sitting right on top of Michigan, and we see this circulation coming down through the eastern Corn Belt. While we expect a lot of clouds on Saturday, I guess I'm not keen on big amounts of moisture. Yeah, we can see the renegade shower here or there, but not much more than that. I do believe we clear out on Sunday, a little bit cool still, but we get sunshine back. Then we are warmer and more humid Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Not a lot of moisture in there, but we're seeing a little bit more discomfort. I think we have a good cluster of thunderstorms that wants to show up by about next Thursday. Rain and the thunderstorm activity can bring another quarter to at least half an inch, if not a little bit more. Behind that, we are unsettled, very humid, and very warm still to finish the week next Friday and into the following weekend. However, if this currently comes together the way we're seeing, we're still going to make it through at least August 24th or 25th with no oppressive August heat. Humidity may be uncomfortable, but the heat is just not developing right now. If the heat comes, it looks like it's going to be that last week of August. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. A bounce in corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubanks. Settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. to find out why we finally went a little higher, and I grabbed that at the end of trade from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, we did see a bump up in the markets on Wednesday, and it was really time for the soybean market to pause the sell-off, the liquidation, it would seem anyway. Were we due for a bounce there specifically?
Well, thanks for having me, as always, Andy. And the short answer is yes. The market was oversold after that bearish report that we saw from the USDA on Monday that showed us record soybean yields here for 24. We do have some weather moving through here midweek. The key thing was the market would be watching to see the quantity of rain that we see. So maybe just a little bit of short covering ahead of that rainfall totals. As we kind of digest what the rainfall will be the next 2 to 3 days. But yeah, it was really a market that was due for some type of short covering bounce here, looking at contract lows made yesterday and November beans, for example, seeing that contract really plummet after that report on Monday.
Soy meal, pretty solid on Wednesday. I would assume that was helpful.
Yeah, just looking to see some end user buying to come in here. The meal export market has been decent for quite some time here, even though the Argentina crop is much larger this year than a year ago. We're still seeing pretty good meal demand as we wrap up this crop year here. But again, the meal too is below $300 a ton, and so maybe just a little bit of end user putting their toe in the water, if you will, here below $300. And getting some coverage on. We'll have to see if there's any export news shows up the next day or two with those daily export sales announcements. Of course, we do get the export sales report on Thursday morning. I'd remind your listeners at 8:30 Eastern time. Trade's looking for 50,000 tons of meal for the old crop and 100 to 400,000 tons of meal on new crop. So there is some, looks like there's some export business lurking about there, but we just saw the meal market, though, same boat as soybeans, very cheap values below $300 a ton.
Brian Basting with us. Talk about the support, where that might have come from for the grains, corn and wheat, maybe different sources of support.
Well, yeah, I think as you get into this mid-August time period, Andy, your listeners know how critical that rainfall is for beans. And that's really on top of that USDA report on Monday being so bearish, the bean with the carryout being bumped up well over 500 million bushel. The corn is looking at some diverging fundamentals a little bit with beans. The weather is good. There's no denying that. USDA came out on Monday with some record yields post across the Midwest here, many states. A record national yield there, a little over 183 bushels per acre. We are seeing, though, some export business for corn sneak in here. Old crop demand, looking at the trade, looking at 12 to 22 on old crop corn exports for tomorrow, 6 to 31 on new crop. The export picture, though, is also being underscored, Andy, by some ideas that the USDA still is a bit too high with their production estimates for the Black Sea, specifically looking at Ukraine. They did lower Ukraine by 500,000 tons on Monday, but the trade seems to think that still may be a little optimistic. It has not been an ideal finish, hot and dry, for the corn in Ukraine. So that number may come down. Of course, Ukraine is a fierce competitor with the U.S. in the export market. So that might be supportive there. And also the trade may be looking for a lower number from Argentina. The USDA lowered it by 2 million tons on Monday. That number may come down a bit further too, and they may trim their exports. So contrasting the two, I would say the end user may have been a little more aggressive here on Monday when we saw that modest turnaround in corn futures, looking at those smaller crops overseas. We're not seeing that same trend in soybeans, however. We're not seeing China, for example, come in here. They've bought modest amounts of new crop beans, but they're well behind what they usually buy this time of year. So short answer to your question would be that, yes, we're seeing more export demand for new crop corn. And the new crop beans, it just hasn't really kicked in yet. So I'd say that the corn has a little bit more firmer underpinning. I'm not bullish, not a price prediction by any means, but more of an observation that the corn seems to have a little bit more fundamental support.
Brian Basting, Market Analysis. Brian with Advanced Trading, and we appreciate him chipping in today. Brian's number at Advanced Trading, 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The settlements from Wednesday trade. September corn up 3 1/4. 381 is where it settled. Dease corn, $4.75. A gain of 3.5. March up 3.5. 418 1/4. September beans, a nickel higher, 952 1/4. Novi at the close up 6 cents, 968 1/2. Jan contract 986 1/2, up 6 1/4. And September wheat 6 cents higher at 534 3/4. The meat's a solid day. October live cattle $1.37 higher, 182.12. October lean hogs 75.92, up 307. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.